the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We want all your views on the first item we're covering this evening, which is why prices in Ireland are the second most expensive in Europe. New figures show that we have prices 38% above the European average. That's according to figures from the European statistics agency Eurostat. We're only behind Denmark when it comes to prices, but across the board from food, housing, communications, restaurants and hotels, we're well above the European average. Let's find out more details from Charlie Weston, personal finance editor with the Irish Independent, and also in a few moments we'll hear from Adrian Cummins, head of the Restaurants Association of Ireland. Charlie, I gave out that average figure there, 38%, but in some other areas we are so much more pricier.
Yeah, we're European beaters when it comes to, for example, alcohol and tobacco. It's almost double the cost in Ireland compared with other countries in Europe. You're talking about 36 countries across Europe. We have alcohol and tobacco prices which are double the average for those 36 countries. Food and non-alcoholic drinks were third highest, with 15% above the average in this country. Restaurants and hotels, second highest, 29% ahead of the average, 29%. Communications, we really stand out here. 40% dearer in this country, 40% is just extraordinary. Electricity and gas, we're the third most expensive at the moment. Sometimes we move up into first place on that one. It's about 17% dearer here than it is in other European countries. In other words, if you spend about 1,000 euros in this in Europe, on average in Europe, 1,000 euros worth of on goods and services, that same basket of goods and services will cost you 1,380 euros in this country. So we're paying an enormous premium all the time. It's just a very expensive country. Cost of living is a major issue, with food prices continuing to go up. I can't see that, you know, improving. We're number two at the moment to Denmark in terms of high costs of cost of living, and it's unfortunate that we are so high up there.
And it's not just that we're a little bit more expensive. It's that in some areas, as you mentioned, and we can go through the taxation figures. That's what probably will affect the alcohol prices. But in so many other areas, because they've looked at 2,000 different items, and we're only in clothing are we about 1% below the average. It's everywhere else we are not just more expensive, but so far more expensive.
Yeah, you're right. Clothing, we're just slightly below the average, but yeah, so much more expensive. You know, double for alcohol and tobacco. When it comes to food, like 15%, even though we're a huge food producer on this island. And housing, for example, we're about 85% higher than, you know, other countries. We know that's because we have very high rents in this country. But yeah, a lot of it is tax. That's certainly a factor. Look, I mean, obviously the main one, I suppose, we have to point out first is that we're a price taker, Ian. You know, we're a small island. We have to import a lot of what we need. We've a lot of our housing is quite strung out. It's not in big conurbations. So all of that adds to the expense. Yeah, all of that's true. But we're also very highly taxed. Our VAT rate, for example, the standard rate is 23%. That applies to most goods that you buy. About 1 euro in every five that is spent by people is taxed at that 23% VAT rate. Adrian, and then excise duty is another big one as well.
Yeah, I just want to bring in Adrian Cummins now from the Restaurants Association of Ireland. 29% higher we are here for restaurant and hotel prices. Your members must be making a fortune.
Well, they're not. First of all, I speak to the restaurant sector, and in terms of our cost inputs, be it beef, chicken, pork, chocolate, dairy. Over the last 3 years, we've seen beef go up by 96% when we buy it off the wholesaler. So, you know, when you look at what the price of a fillet steak is now and what it was 3 years ago, it hasn't increased by 96%. But, Charlie has pointed out a lot of the key issues here. And one of the major issues is that the shortage of housing in the country has had a huge effect on our economy, because we're a labour-intensive industry. We've had to increase, you know, the government has increased the minimum wage by 28% over 3 years. And that has to try and make us, you know, make people able to afford housing in the country also. So, you know, when you look at the restaurant industry and you benchmark us against our European counterparts, there's no reason why we're the second highest after Denmark, and that's down to substantially government taxation. Alcohol is, you know, any drink that you have a drink in.
But even soft drinks were more expensive.
Yeah, well, I mean, alcohol is taxed at about 65-66% when you have a pint or a bottle of beer or a glass of wine. So, you know, we've said that to the government, if we're going to target tourists to come into the country, we need to look at how do we bring in more tourists and make it value for money when we come in. Like, our industry is trying to make margin at the moment. They're busy fools across the country, and any listener to the show that has a coffee shop or a restaurant, they're probably screaming at the radio saying, I'm not making any money, but I'm working harder than I did 3 or 4 years ago. And you know, this is something that we need to do in terms of regulatory burden is one area we could look at. There's a huge amount of regulatory burden that we could strip out of the system and make it more cost effective for our industry.
But who is making all of this money? If it's not your members who are the people selling this to us, well, who is making money?
Well, I'd like to see the food regulator, this new authority that is up and running to look at food prices. You know, I'd like to see that, you know, if there is legislation that can be used there to go into the wholesalers and see what they're charging versus what they're purchasing from the farmer, and do a report on it. And I would safely say that there's a huge increase in a discrepancy between what they're purchasing from the farm gate and what we are purchasing from the wholesalers and delivering to the customer at the end of the day. And you know, what we are hearing is that a substantial amount of our food produce has been exported. There's a, you know, the argument around the beef prices is that there's a huge demand in the UK for Irish beef, and that's why prices have increased by 96% over 2.5 years. So, you know, I'd like to see that a report into that and look at a deep dive into it by the food regulator, and maybe there is areas that we may uncover that there is people making a lot of money, but I can safely say that it's not the restaurant industry.
Charlie, look, I've been writing about this in the Business Post in the last number of weeks, and I've said we need a competition body. Adrian points out that we need a food regulator to look at these sectors. Have the government at all responded to this? Because we've seen these figures for quite a while now, particularly around prices that people pay in supermarkets and also what they pay for restaurants. And other areas, Charlie, like electricity as well.
Exactly. And yeah, no, you had a good piece in the Sunday Business Post in the start of this month on why everything in Ireland is so much more expensive than the rest of the EU. I think the first point should be to try and work out who's making the margin here, who's making the profit margin. Is somebody running away? Is somebody making off like a bandit? And I asked the government in the form of the Department of Enterprise, I asked the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, and I asked the new Agri-Food Regulator, are any of you guys going to look at why, you know, I was looking at groceries and food in particular, why that's going up so much? Surely somebody should be looking at this. None of them plan to do a major investigation into this. The Agri-Food Regulator is only recently set up and doesn't have the powers to do a full probe of food prices and the food chain and who's making money where. So, you know, we don't take regulation seriously. We've lax regulatory oversight. We set up a new agri-food regulator, and it doesn't have proper powers. You know, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission was set up as a super body with the merger of the National Consumer Agency and the Competition Authority in 2014. It still lacks powers. It's still asking for more powers. When the central bank this year disbanded its dedicated consumer protection unit. Now, it argues that, like, those staff are still there. They're working in different areas. But it had a director of consumer protection. That role is gone now. We just don't take these things seriously. We should have a minister for consumer affairs, a full minister. You know, and as I say, a starting point would be to work out, Is somebody's making off like a bandit here, or is it just that all the costs are so high? But, you know, why are we so reluctant to regulate in a kind of an intrusive way? And why is there a culture in this country of being very wary of market intervention? You made that point in your article. We seem to be very wary of that. Well, Adrian, if you do that in other countries, yeah. Other European countries will intervene in the market much more than we will. We just seem to say, you know, it's a free for all, and the consumer ends up holding, you know, getting it in the neck financially every time.
I just want to bring back in Adrian, because we have heard this week from the government at the National Economic Dialogue, or this big event they held in Dublin Castle the other day, that they are looking at bringing down the VAT rate for hospitality. And if that happened, and if we don't have things like extra sick days for workers or big increases in the minimum wage, can you see your members actually cutting prices out there?
Well, you know, we hear these soundings from the government, and obviously they've said it, you know, nothing is decided until the budget day. But, you know, if it does come in and it is in the programme for government, and we expect that they will deliver, that's a matter for each business. Because at the end of the day, a business has to make a margin. And what we've seen is, in the first 4 months of this year, we've nearly had 200 restaurants closed down. So, you know, there is businesses going to the wall. And, you know, the sooner that VAT rate comes in, the sooner we can make our industry viable. The industry isn't viable at the moment. And that's to a combination of factors. So VAT is just one thing. The other parts of it is, and we can see from the input cuts, and Charlie's quite right, why have we an agri-food regulator with no powers that can go in and look at this and have a report done as quickly as possible? Because it is in for the benefit, not just for our members, but for every consumer in the country, because they're paying for it in their grocery bill every week. So, you know, the government needs to listen and stand, and deliver upon, you know, for the people of Ireland, because, you know, this cost of living is not just affecting, you know, my members. This cost of living is affecting every part of the society.
Are they still putting up prices? Are restaurants, are hotels, are coffee shops still putting up prices?
Well, there's only so much you can do in terms of, you know, there is an economic factor called the law of diminishing return, where there is a price point where you'll see you won't have customers coming in the door. But businesses will do what businesses have to do in terms of their own pricing policy, and that is to try and make a few bob for themselves, pay the taxmen, pay their staff, and pay their suppliers, and hopefully at the end of the day they have a small profit for themselves. But at the moment, the margins just aren't there.
Charlie, in 30 seconds, have we actually found out how much profits the meat factories are making or the big supermarkets are making?
That's part of the problem. I mean, we don't know. These companies tend to be unlimited, as you know. They're often incorporated outside the country, and they don't have to then produce publicly available accounts to tell us what they're making. So it's very, very hard to get a grip on it. You know, we do with sort of Musgraves and some of the German discounters. We've no idea what Dunnes are making, for example. We don't have a breakdown of Tesco in this country. So yeah, that would help a lot if we knew that. And if we had some real competition as well, Lean, instead of just price matching all the time. We get an awful lot of price matching in this country. We never get any true competition, it seems.
Okay, Charlie Weston and Adrian Cummins, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.